what we ought to start with this morning is let's have the lights dimmed down and let's have the eerie music starting to play, because that's the sort of impression that we have of mysteries. It's a mysterious thing. It's something we don't really understand. And I suppose in many contexts we've come across that particular word. And in fact, what the churches tend to use it to talk about these days is the mystery of the Trinity. We're going to have a look at one or two things and what the Bible actually tells us about mysteries. So if you can just read that for a moment, then we'll just get started. Anybody any ideas? Well, here it is. Simple as that. It's windings. It's windings. If you've ever heard of windings, you know what it is. So, we're going to talk about what the Bible tells us, therefore, about mysteries. Now, to me, a computer is mysterious. Don't understand it, but it does a good job and it works fine most of the time. We'll find out how well it works this morning. Well, for instance, if we go back in time now to, for instance, the Egyptian dynasty and talk about Egyptian hieroglyphics. People who first came across these strange marks, these hieroglyphics, couldn't, of course, understand what they were about. Then the Rosetta Stone was discovered, and the Rosetta Stone has three different types of script. And they're all the same text, except they are of this different script. Now, that enabled people to be able to understand the three different types of language that they had there, because there was Greek, which they understood, but as you can see on the screen, there were hieroglyphics for the priestly language and the daily language. So what had been a mystery, not understood by anyone who lived, if you like, in the 18th to 20th centuries, and even the 21st, well, what happens then is they were able to understand what these hieroglyphics meant. Well, when it comes down to it, I suppose really if we ask anybody about a particular mystery, and it's something that's a phrase which is used these days I think quite often, if you particularly, as I've said, to do with the Trinity, it actually means things not understood, and that's the context we use it in. In other words, if you want to finish a conversation and you say to somebody, well, would you please explain to me the doctrine of the Trinity? And the answer might come back, well, it's a mystery. In other words, end of conversation. I can't tell you, you don't know, I don't know, and leave it at that. Well, what does that do for us? Well, that, to me, just leads to misunderstandings. Because the scriptures, particularly, are not mysterious. There's nothing in the Bible that is confusing if you just read it properly and search it out. So, instead of getting an answer, you get a misunderstanding, in fact, of some particular issue. So we want to make things quite clear this morning. What's happened over the past, of course, is some of these things that are now called mysterious have been propagated over centuries throughout the churches. And that's why you will hear it quite a bit in church dialogues, etc. So let's just have a think then about genuine mysteries, because there are some. Here's one. Where did everything come from? If you talk to some of the people who believe in evolution, they'll tell you it evolved from something or some matter or something. But we don't know where, we don't know how, we don't know what happened. It is indeed something that is not understood. And so is the origin of life. It's something that's there, we know it happens, but we don't understand how it happens. Well, believe it or not, the Bible has an answer to this particular question. And here it is. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. And this is from the ESV version. It says, by faith, so that's by that capacity we have to believe things which we can't absolutely prove, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. Now here it is. So that what is seen, the things that we see around us, was not made out of things that are visible. Now, in other words, if we want to make a desk and we go and start with a tree and a piece of wood, we are making a desk out of a tree. That's something that's visible. But what Hebrews tells us is, when we look at the creation, we look at the universe, we will not understand how it came into being. It's something which is hidden from us. So let's just think then about now Bible mystery. I said the Bible is not mysterious. The word actually is translated from the Greek. It's a transliteration because the word is mysterion, and therefore mystery is pretty well a transliteration. And what it actually means in the Bible terms is to keep something secret from some people and reveal it to other people. Now in our reading that Darren took for us this morning, talked about the mysteries of the parable. Because the parables were told so that certain people could understand it, other people couldn't. Now that's amazing when you think about it, to be able to do something such as that. Well, the word occurs 27 times. There are no mysteries in the Old Testament. The word mystery does not occur in the Old Testament. So here we are, all in the New Testament. Now that tells us that things that are in the Old Testament are things that we should be able to understand. 20 times it occurs in Paul's letters, 3 in the Gospels and 4 in Revelation. And the literal translation of this Greek word mysterion is to shut the mouth. In other words, I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you. And that's the way that we really need to look at it. Well, simplify it, break it down, there are just 6 categories of mystery. 6 points, if you like, that the Bible in the New Testament tells us are mysterious, or were thought to be by the translators. 15, concerning the gospel redemptive work of Jesus. So that's the main thing. Things which are not understood by many people, the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 15 times it occurs. 5 concerning the Gentiles being called into the redemptive work of Jesus, 4 the revelation of Jesus, and you can see the others. It never is concerned with the devil or Satan. Never concerned with anything such as that, such as we might these days, through spiritualism or the like, think of as mysterious. Never concerned with that in the Bible terms. So, here it is. Let's have a look at one or two of these examples. Now, we've just read in Matthew chapter 13 how Jesus taught in parables, stories with a meaning, so that people could understand the simplicity of the story, and then when researched deeper, they would understand the meaning behind the story. Now, this is what we read, in fact, in Matthew 13 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? In other words, why are you doing this? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So Jesus is talking in parables such that the disciples would be able to understand what the parable meant, but to the proud scribes and Pharisees and Jewish leaders, it just went over their heads. So that's the reason that Jesus spoke in parables. So let's then talk about that first category, the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, if you like, redeeming us to God. That's the idea of the sins that we commit and the debt that we accumulate is going to be taken away. And here we have now in Luke 9, let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. Now, that would seem to us to be a fairly clear statement. But they did not understand this saying. And it was hidden from them so that they did not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying. Here we have a saying which to us would seem to be quite clear, and remember now that we are looking back 2,000 years on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were at that time, and that there is an important point there, because these things which, if you like, in the past were mysterious can become clear as events pass on, and we'll see that as we go on. So they didn't really understand what Jesus was saying. But the time came when they did. And in fact, that was later on when Jesus was taken and crucified. And it says there in John 12, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. So there we are. It was a mystery when Jesus was telling them about the things that were going to come to pass to him, his death, his resurrection and such like. But of course, after, they didn't understand it. But then when the events happened, they said, that's what he was talking about. So the mystery became revealed, if you like. All right? Of course, remember the time when he entered Jerusalem and everybody was shouting, Hosanna to the King of David, etc. And then he's telling his disciples he's going to be killed. And so the euphoria that there is there as he's entered Jerusalem seems to disappear very quickly if they understood what he was saying. So it's after the event that this ceases to be a mystery. Let's have a look at the second one. Now this is talking about the gospel being preached to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And Paul writes to the Ephesians, to the church at Ephesus, it's in chapter 3 in the letter of the Ephesians there. He says, talking about the gospel, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So he's telling them there is something here which you might not understand, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. So this is something here that wasn't really made known, it wasn't understood. But now hath been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So that's the build-up, and here's the answer, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So to the Jews, of course, this is a case of a big surprise, because they were the people that God had selected. To them they were special, they were God's people. And now they're finding that what is being taught here by the Apostle Paul is that the Gentiles also can receive the same blessings as the Jews. That same selection process, if you like. So that the Gentiles, so this wasn't a mystery anymore now, because it's being explained by the Apostle Paul, that when he was an apostle to the Gentiles, and he went out talking to the Gentiles, preaching to the Gentiles, and the Jews said, this is not right. But of course, it was a mystery to them. But then as time went on, it became clear that the Gentiles would be included in the promises that were made to Abraham, etc. So no longer is it a mystery. Try number three. This now is concerning the gospel again, but not just talk about being included to the Gentiles, but to all nations everywhere. In other words, spread abroad completely. And it was again something that people didn't understand. And here we have Paul's letter to Romans, chapter 16. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. So here we have something which has not been understood right from the beginning of the world, the creation. But it says, but now has been made manifest, in other words, shown, opened up, made clear, and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. So there we have the very same message which had been given to the Ephesians now, spreading out beyond the Asian area into all the world. So this was something that wasn't understood. When you read the Old Testament and look at the Old Testament, it was something that not everybody would understand. Some did, by the power of the Holy Spirit, but very few. So we have there this mystery of the Gentiles, of all nations of the world, being brought into this tremendous blessing of the redemption of our sins by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, something that's not mysterious. Something that's quite clearly understood because we read the later letters. Now, what about the work of Jesus in the Gospel? This is in Colossians chapter 1. Again, Paul writing to the Colossians. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Well, here I've just got to make a particular point about this, because the word saint is something which has been, if you like, changed over time. And what it really means is people who are called out. People who are brought out of the world, if you like, by an understanding of a message. So if we are, for instance, who are here now, are the called out ones because we have come to understand the purpose of God, come to understand the gospel message, we are saints. It isn't a case of being made saints, it's a case of being saints. And that, in fact, is the correct meaning from Scripture. It is not a case of being sanctified and made saints by, for instance, the Catholic Church. So here we are, the Bible is quite clear, we are called out ones. We are ones who have received the message, received the gospel, and therefore we have been called out. So here it is, the mystery then, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to us, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it is to understand the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in being able to, if you like, bring these people, bring people like us, into the blessed state that the Bible talks of. So there we have number four, quite straightforward, yet again. All fits in quite easily with the rest of Scripture. I'll look at number five. Now, this is something that would have been very, very difficult for people to understand. And I think it's even difficult nowadays for us to grasp this, because it's something that is totally unfamiliar to us. Something that we don't really understand, even now. And so the Apostle Paul, when writing to the Corinthians, says, "Behold, I show you a mystery, something that's difficult to understand, which we shall not all sleep." Of course, that's the sleep of death. "But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So this is something now which really is difficult for us to understand. We don't know the process. We don't know how it will happen, even now. Yes, we know in Scripture that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. There were others who were raised from the dead. But we don't know how it happens, because our scientific knowledge is not such that we can really understand it. So it still is a mystery to us. And perhaps one day, we may be able to understand the process by which this happens. But is it important? The facts are important in the sense that there are times coming, if you like, when the dead will be raised from the grave, and you don't have to get into discussions about if they've corrupted away, if they were buried at sea, or whatever happens. God is the giver of all life. God created them in the beginning, and in fact every time there's a new birth, it is in fact a miracle. Things that we don't necessarily need to understand, but we need to understand the impact of the message. So there will be a time when the graves are opened, when people will be raised from the dead. And of course, to us, that will be a mystery. But it's not a mystery in the fact that it will happen, because the Scriptures tell us quite clearly that it will. Let's move on. Mystery six. This is now concerning the book of Revelation. And very often people will take us to the book of Revelation and say to us, well, this is really mysterious language. And it is, it's figurative language. in much of its use. But nevertheless, there are certain things that are fairly straightforward, if you like, and here is one of them. Revelation 17:3 says, I saw a woman. Now, looking at the figurative language, the scriptures use this term to define the church. It is, if you like, the people who have been called out and the people who are following the example of Jesus. So it's the church, whatever that means, in terms of its political situation or its religious situation. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-coloured beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colour, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Well, there's quite a change in that couple of verses there, isn't there? Because I saw a woman, the church, sit upon a scarlet-coloured beast, and then it says, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So this is not the normal, if you like, understanding of a church which is made up of people who are looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and the creative work of God. This is something quite different. This is a church which has gone off the rails. So we now have a challenge, because we are in the same situation, in fact, as people were at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, where things were about to happen that they didn't understand. So here we are now, we're in this situation, and things are about to happen which we don't really understand, because it's not history, it's future. And so we can understand now how things can be difficult, can't we? So it's partly history and partly future. So let's just proceed. Revelation 17:5. And upon this woman's forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So this church, it's, if you like, aligned with Babylon. And in fact, it's responsible for certain things which aren't right. It says here, a mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. As I said, the saints were the called out ones. And this church is got drunk, if you like. It's got carried away with the blood of the ones who have been called out, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about this particular subject and how you build all this up. In fact, there's a very good book, which many of you will have heard of, I'm sure, which is Alexander Hislop's Two Babylons. And here we have, in that book, the connection between Babylon and a church. And it shows very clearly how the two are quite connected. So this is a system of religion which has existed for centuries and is unfortunately corrupt. So let's just move on a little bit now. And because we can show, in fact, that Babylon and the Roman Church have great similarities. There are, in fact, if you like, trends which were there in Babylon which have come through into the Roman Church. Now, interestingly enough, just one little fact. The papal tiara, which is worn, used to have the word mystery engraved upon it. But, of course, this was really recognised as being connected to Revelation chapter 17, so Pope Julius III had it removed, 1487 to 1555, and the word mystery was taken off the papal tiara. So the Pope had associated himself with a mystery, but now they've realised that's not a good thing, so they had it taken off. Now, the way that the church works, and in fact I've had experience of this personally, being in Bible mission work in Africa and places such as that, where there are churches established and many people go there and they're told they can't have the Bible because it is for the clergy, and they have the opportunity to listen to what the clergy tells them. And therefore the Bible has been, if you like, protected from the common people. Of course, as Christadelphians, we go out there and give as many Bibles away as we can. So the Bible was actually hidden from people and remained a preserve of the clergy, who had built up not only a reputation but a great wealth, a great standing, a great position amongst the people. And so here they were, doing what they thought was a good job. It was a preserve of the clergy to maintain the mysteries. Now, these were not the genuine mysteries of the scriptures, but they were things which were made to be told to be mysterious. So that's like I said at the beginning, when people ask questions, oh, that's a mystery. Sorry, can't tell you. And of course, what happened is you'll have a clergy which is built up, if you like, on the confidence that they have of understanding the scriptures and just letting the other people know what they felt was appropriate. In fact, here we have it, the Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday in AD 321 by Constantine, who was a sun worshipper. And you will find a lot of our feasts these days and religious holidays, in fact, are based upon paganism, because it was then that the two were brought together. Of course, before Christianity, paganism was thriving, and they set up all these pagan feasts, and so we just brought them all together, if you like. And very few of our religious holidays are not connected with paganism. And in fact, this particular church here, which is mentioned, persecuted the Christians. The blood of the martyrs, the blood of the saints, etc. And you don't need to look very far to find out that that has been done throughout centuries. So we can trace, if you like, what is the Bible telling us is a corrupt type of religion. When Jesus came to teach, he taught the common people. And the ones who didn't really want to learn from him were the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Jewish leaders. Because they, if you like, nailed him to the point where they wanted to get rid of him. And so even though they knew, and I am convinced they knew, that he was the Messiah towards the end, it was so much trouble for them and a threat to their position that they wanted to get rid of him. Now, that's the difficulty that you find as you go through the history of religion. So you have to be very careful now how you look at the scriptures, and we have to be able to read it very carefully ourselves and see where it reveals to us what these mysteries are. There is no mystery. For instance, that the resurrection from the dead, yes, it's something we don't understand, but the Bible clearly tells us that it's going to happen. And it's not relevant, I don't think, is to find out exactly how or why. Well, we know why, but how it's going to happen. So then, we come now to the summary, and here we are. Mystery, things which were not understood until revealed. Until revealed. It's also aspects of the kingdom of God involving Jesus' work, the preaching of Jesus, the redemptive work of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus. All those things were things which were not clearly understood until after the event and in the apostles' days. And the apostles received, therefore, an understanding of the mystery of the work of Christ. And the apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, explains quite clearly the situation as to how these things were going to be, should be interpreted from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has therefore revealed his plan that he has with people and with the earth slowly through the ages to us and the people who are prepared to read and prepared to study. And this revelation is complete with the giving of the New Testament. So it's as a result of the work that we have in the New Testament and the writings of the Apostle Paul and such like that all these are not mysteries to those who are prepared to take the time and the trouble to read the scriptures and to understand them, and therefore understand the amazing redemption that there is available through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be part of that. So, thank you for listening. We finish, I hope, on time, and we'll leave it out to Darren.